Well, good morning to all of you, and it's always nice and a privilege to be here. This is my first time. I'm going to preach in English. I usually come to translate from Pastor Myers, and I was telling my wife I need a joke because I am nervous and I need to loosen up a little bit, right? But my wife said, good luck finding a joke in Spanish and trying to translate into English. The words don't match. So I said, okay, well, whatever. You know, wives are always encouraging us to, you know. But, you know, it's always an honor. I'm glad. What a privilege. I am excited to be here and see the crowd. And I'm glad that you're here at church. There's no better place than to be at church. Right after this, go get yourself a burger, go get yourself a Mexican food, go put some charcoal on that grill, put some a nice steak, and enjoy the afternoon, and then get ready for tonight's service, amen? I mean, that's what I tell the folks in Spanish, you know, pay attention, listen up, I'll be sure, go home, eat something, take a little nap, come back to church, amen? And Brother Ross said, meeting, what else? And message, and then Coke, amen? Right? No, I like Coke now. I stopped drinking Coke for about 6 months, almost 9 months. And then, of course, I went to preach in Belize, and they said, you got to try the Coke here. And I tried the Coke here, and I fell in love again, Coke. You know, I fell back in love. There's something about, you know, the Coke over there, and I fell in love. And I told my wife, I'm sorry, honey, but I'm coming back, and I'm going to start drinking Coke again. You know, and so, amen, Brother Jerry. Praise the Lord. Well, I want to bring something to you, a short message, I hope. Every time a pastor says that, you know he's lying, right? You know he's lying. But I want to bring something that, you know, in life, we are going to have storms. And the title of the message this morning is Don't Sink in the Storms of Life. Don't sink in the storms of life. Brother Daniel, you know, read in the Bible a story. In this story, we find the disciples caught in the grip of a fierce storm. God had just made miracles. If you go back to the chapter, in chapter 14, he had just made a miracle of feeding 5,000 people, 5,000 men, the Bible says, with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And of course, now, you know, Christ tells the disciples, get on the boat and go, you know, across the Sea of Galilee. And these men, these disciples, get on the boat and, you know, their goal is to cross. But in the midst of the sea, the storm comes in. The winds, the Bible says, they were trying to go across, but the winds were contrary to their way. It came to a point where they were afraid. It came to the point where the Bible says they felt that they were going to sink. They felt that they were going to die. They felt, you know, that they were working so hard to get it across, to go across the Sea of Galilee, and nothing was happening. In their minds, they were dead. In their minds, you know, they just saw God made a miracle, and then a couple of hours later, they're afraid because they're thinking, we're about to drown, we're about to die. You know, everything was under God's control. By the way, God is always in control of his children. That's one of the things that we can all be sure. God promised us that he would be with us to the end of the day, the end of times. In the Christian life, God never promised us that being saved or being a Christian will end our problems on earth. Or it will end our suffering. John 16:33, the Bible says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. And praise the Lord for that peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I like the word cheer. I have overcome the world. You know, these disciples are in the will of God, by the way. God is the one that told them, get on the boat, go across the Sea of Galilee. It's not like they got on the boat without God knowing. God, Jesus told them, get on the boat. I'll meet you guys over there. So they're in the middle of the storm in God's will. Listen, if I'm going to go through trials, I want to be in trials by doing God's will. Because I have always said you're either out of God's will in trials or you're in God's will in trials. I'd rather be in trials and inside God's will. But in the storm, as we read, no matter how much they tried to get out of it, we saw they could not advance because the winds was against them. These men were, in a nutshell, trapped in a storm, unable to get out. Now let me give you some things that I've learned about this story. First of all, while studying and reading this story, I began to think about what Paul said about the storms and the problems of life. If you go to your Bibles, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Now, these are not the points of my sermon to end. Don't get excited. We're not there yet. This is just the introduction, okay? Like, wow, he's already on point one? I learned a few things about this story. First of all, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 4. When you're there, can you say amen? The Bible says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body of dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. What is Paul saying? Yes, in the storms of life, we're going to go and we're going to feel like, you know, why is this happening to me? I'm about to drown, and yet you're still going to be okay. That's what he's saying. Listen, he says, I feel, and in verse number 8 says, we are troubled in every side. There's always something's going to be happening. Something is always going to be happening. And listen, the more we want to live for Christ, the more we're going to be tried. And that's not the big problem here. I'd rather be tried in God's will than out of God's will. But Paul is saying, listen, in our life, we're going to be trouble in every side. Yet, not distress. We are going to feel perplexed, but not despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Aren't you glad that no matter what you're going through, you're not forsaken? Sometimes, we're going to feel like if the storms of life are hitting us from all directions. And sometimes we will feel like we're about to sink. But let me remind you that Jesus promised us to be there for us. The second thing I've learned about this message is that Jesus came to them walking on water at the fourth watch between 3 and 6 in the morning because he saw them confused, the Bible says, and afraid. They were ready to give up. And Christ comes and encourages them to not be afraid by saying, take courage, it is I, do not fear. Now, they've been working, trying to get across the sea. They're trying hard. The wind is contrary to them. The waves are hitting the boat. You know, they're scared. They're feeling we're about to die. We're about to drown. This boat is going to sink. And in the midst of that despair, the Bible says that Christ came walking to them. You know, they saw Christ and they're like, oh, there's a spirit. There's a ghost. They couldn't tell who Jesus was. There's the ghost, and Christ says, hey, it's me. You know, sometimes we lose track of who God is when we're in trials. We lose track of Christ. You know, he is the funniest thing. You gotta laugh about what happens in the Bible sometimes because here's all the disciples trying to get the boat across. You know, the wind and the water and the waves and it's probably turning that ship and they can't get it across and they're all, you know, we're gonna drown and there's always a negative one in the midst, amen? I'm about to die. You know, I don't want to die. And here's all, and then Christ is coming. But he's not, you know, he's not moving because the winds are not making him get to the boat. The waves are not pushing him away from the boat. No matter if the wave, no matter if the wind, no matter what circumstances were happening that were hitting the boat was not hitting Christ. Aren't you glad that Christ is above everything? You know, these guys are crying and dying because of what's happening. But none of that was affecting Christ. None of that. And I like that. I was thinking about that. And I remember, how many of you, you know, ever hide or hidden from your children when they were small, like in the mall or in the store? They were walking with you, and then suddenly you let them loose. You let them loose by themselves, go by themselves, and then you stood behind something and just peek, you know, take a look at them and see what the reaction was going to be. I remember when my kids were small, we used to go, and I would do that. You know, I would do that. I would hide, and then my kids would suddenly feel like, where's Dad? Where's, and they would start turning around, and I, you know, I would see them, and then suddenly when they were about to cry, you know, or they were about to really have it, or really, you could tell their faces were about to, something was going to happen, I would come and say, hey, I'm here. And they're like, oh, Dad, you know. Sometimes that's what Christ does. He's with us all the time, but doesn't mean sometimes he doesn't stand behind and see what kind of reaction we're going to get during our trials. Because I'll tell you what, during trials, everybody acts somehow in some way. It was the sixth hour, by the way. The Bible says the sixth hour, the sixth watch, between 3 and 6 in the morning. Did you know that 3 and 6 in the morning is the coldest time of the night? Did you know that 3 and 6 in the morning is the darkest night of the night? Did you know that 3 and 6 in the morning is the hardest time in the night? 2 years ago when I had COVID, I remember that, you know, I couldn't sleep at all. I didn't sleep like for a whole month, all December. And I remember I couldn't sleep. I would close my eyes and I just couldn't sleep. And I would stay right there, lay in my bed, open my eyes open, and I would pray, Lord, I want this to be morning already. I'm done with the night. I need this. I need can the morning come faster? You know, because I felt just anxiety, just being sick. And that time during 3 and 6 of the morning was the hardest time for me. I wanted the sun out, and I wanted just to feel. I just felt if I go out in the sun, I didn't go out in the street. I'm just in my porch, you know. And the sun hits me, I might feel better physically, you know. And I felt like that, but that time during 3 and 6 of the morning was the hardest time for me. You know, 3 and 6 in the morning was the hardest time for the disciples. That's when they fell, they were about to sink, the boat was about to collapse, and they were about to die. Sometimes when, you know, sometimes we're going to feel like, where's God? I'm praying, I'm fasting, I'm reading my Bible, I'm going to church, I'm doing what God is telling me to do, and I don't see God manifesting himself. What is going on? I'll tell you what, even though you felt that way, God's still behind something watching us, and he's about to come out when we're about to give up. You know, I've gone through my trials. I've gone through my times. And I can say this, I don't like any trials. I'm not standing here saying I love trials. Who likes trials? But I'll tell you what, I'm glad they came. I'm glad they came because they made me mature. They helped me to be a better Christian. Not because I am a better Christian, but because the trials make me be a better Christian. Sometimes we're going to feel like that. The third thing I like about this story is that, you know, Peter was the only one brave enough to get out of the boat. You know, here comes Jesus walking on water. You know, honestly, Peter is the only faithful Christian. Because yeah, he saw the winds, he saw the rain, and he got in afraid, you know, he got afraid, and he was sinking, and he said, "Lord, help me!" And the Lord grabbed him. But I tell you what, this guy put his faith in action. The other guys, they just sank. You know, the other guys were on the boat thinking, oh, we're saved here. No, they just sang because it's not about saving our lives. It's about growing in faith. The story is about faith in God. In the storms of life, faith is the only option we have left. And that is the best option we have. You know, in the storms of life, when you can't do, you know, there's nothing you can do about a situation. There's nothing you can do about a health issue. There's nothing you can do about your family, about your children, about the issues of life. You do have one powerful weapon. It's called faith in God. Now, let me give you four things now, and I'll be gone. You go have lunch, and I'll go in Spanish and preach in Spanish. Four things. Number one, let's look at the power of the Savior. The power of the Savior. We do have a powerful Savior. You know, I want you to look at the power of the Savior. Sometimes in our Christian life and more when we are in storms of life, we have to remember the power of the Savior. First of all, I want you to notice that while the disciples were fighting to keep the boat on course, they were not able because of the winds, Christ came walking on water. Now, you and I will sink. Christ didn't have that problem because we have a Savior that is powerful. We have a Savior that is almighty. You know, we have to remember that we have a God that is not powerless, that is not weak. I think sometimes as Christians, we do know that we have a God that is powerful, but I think sometimes in trials, we forget that he still is, during trials, a powerful God. Trials don't change his power. You know, sometimes in trials, we have to always remember we have a powerful Savior. You know, we find that even though they had everything against them to the point where they had reached their destination, have given up, Christ came to them, nor the winds, nor the waves, nor the sea. Nothing stopped Christ or moved Christ from reaching them. And we have to remember Christ is always so close to us, but it's not that he's not close to us, it's that we're sometimes in the storms dwell away from him. The Bible says, come near me and I will come near you. And I'm giving you my interpretation and my Bible. I'm trying to think in Spanish sometimes, and in English comes out, amen? My translation. But the Bible says that we come close to him. You know, he'll come close to me, and it's not like he left. I'm the one that tend to leave him. As I come close to him, he's closer to me. You know, and sometimes we have to remember that in the times of trial, we have this tendency of moving away from God because we feel we need help and he can't help us. When in reality, it's when we have to get closer to him because he's all powerful. He can move. He can do. There's nothing that will stop him from whatever he decides to do. And if we come to him and we get close to him, we will find his power in us. So number one, let's remember the power of the Savior. In trials, remember the power of the Savior. Too many Christians quit too easy. Oh, I'm going in trial. I'm in trial. I have problems. I don't know what to do. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to stop coming to church. Oh, I'm going to stop reading the Bible. I'm going to stop praying. I'm going to start giving. I'm going to stop soul winning. I'm going to stop living for God because I'm going through trials, you know. One time I called this man. I said, hey, what's going on? I haven't seen you in church. And he said, oh, it's because I'm going through problems right now. Once they're done, I'll be back in church. I said, no, you're not understanding this. God, you're going through problems so you can learn to be more faithful. Hey, as soon as my problems are gone, I'll be back in 2 months. No. That's not the point why God allowed trials to come to your life. It's so you can come closer to him. Amen. Romans 8:31. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Someone said once, whoever has God has everything. If you have God next to you, you'll be okay. So first of all, we see the power of the Savior. Number two, let's look at the storm. Let's look at the storm. Now, here's the interesting thing about the storm. Too many storms and trials are bad. But to one man named Peter, the trials became an opportunity. You see the difference? All the disciples on the board are like, where are you going, Peter? Hey, if it is you, Jesus, I want to go. And Peter said, oh, what do you mean to do? Put some concrete, put some wood, just get out of the boat and walk. You know, sometimes that's how we won. It's by faith, amen. And Peter did something that the other ones were not willing to do. He just got out of the boat and started walking on the water. See, he saw the problem. He saw the trial as an opportunity. These guys saw the trial as problems. He saw the trial as an opportunity. Listen to me. Listen, I don't like trials, but I'm glad I had trials in my life. They have shaped me to be a better Christian. They have made me a better Christian, not because I am a better Christian, but because they have shaped me to be a better Christian. If you run from trials and you don't see the opportunity, you're going to miss what God is trying to do in your life. You know, he's trying to make you a better Christian. I'm not saying here that trials are nice. No, they're not nice. I think I pray more the whole month that I was in COVID than any other time in my life. And I told my wife, I think because I didn't sleep the whole month, I fainted while I was praying one time. I said, but you know, as soon as it got daylight, I would go to the living room, get on my knees, and I prayed. I prayed so much and read my Bible so much that whole month, that maybe that whole year, I was going to take an opportunity. I was going to take my trial as an opportunity, not as a problem to get away from God, but as an opportunity to get closer to God. You know, you go into trial, you should pray more. You go into trial, you should read the Bible more. You go into trial, you should be at church more. You go into trial, you should give a little more, amen. Hey, you go into trial, hey, and don't take this, Lori, but bring your pillow and your blanket and stay here. In other words, the more of a trial you go through, the more you ought to be close to God. The storm is not a curse. Why is God doing this to me? How many have said that? What have I done? I go to church. How many have I done? How many have said that? Amen. I thought you were a lovable God, and we, you know, and now don't confuse being trialed by being disobedient. If I'm gonna go into trial, it's because I'm being obedient. I want to be a Job, not someone that needs to be brought in, be back to church, be back to God because I left him. But look at the storm. You know, opportunities. Listen, we live in a world where, you know, a lot of us have stocks. We invested money, and if we find a nice opportunity, guess what? We put money into it. Amen? Now, there is an opportunity in God's kingdom also. You know, sometimes he lets us go in trials, and instead of backing up, we ought to be more faithful. You know, we ought to be more faithful. The storms of life, although they're not pretty, they can become opportunities to see God's miraculous. How many of you guys have ever walked on water? Only one man. Peter. He holds a record. Amen? He holds a record. So he saw the storm as an opportunity, not as a problem or a curse. See, you're going through trials. Take advantage of the opportunity. By the way, you can't change what's happening in your life. I couldn't change that I felt sick and I had COVID. I wish I didn't have it, but I had it. I couldn't go out. I was stuck at home. I couldn't sleep. So what was I going to do? Just cry? No. I read my Bible more. I pray more. And by the way, Even though I wasn't feeling, well, my body, I knew I could get peace through God. I knew he can help me. So number one, don't forget. Let me go back a little bit here. Don't forget the power of the Savior. Number two, look at the storm as the opportunity. As the opportunity. Number three, let's look at the performance of the saints. I like that. What was the performance of the saints? We're about to die. These Christians, they had just experienced a miracle. In chapter 14, in the beginning, God, Jesus made, fed 5,000 men with five loaves of bread and two fish. Now, five loaves of bread and two fish, that's just for me. Can I get amen? You know, we go fishing, all the men, we go fishing, we go two, three times a year. I told the men, we can't run much anymore. We can't play sports anymore, but let's go fishing. Let's be real Christians. Real Christians fish. Well, aren't we ought to imitate and be like Christ? He's a fisherman. So we go fishing. Listen, I don't eat one fish when I come back with my fish. I usually cook two when I get there, and then two after, I cook, I eat, and fish, and I love fish. But those five loaves and two fish, they're just for me. They're an appetite. I mean, they're just, something small. And yet Christ fed 5,000. If those 5,000 were Cambodians, there were like 10,000, 15,000. If there were Mexicans, there were 20,000. So 20,000 people here ate. Imagine those disciples. Lord, here's a little boy with five loaves of bread and two fish. What is he going to do with five? I like the Bible. There were men. The ladies? Men. I don't know. I like eating like that. And they saw the miracle. And they were like, what a blessing to be with Christ. What a blessing to see this miracle happen. It's like when you're part of the team, that team won. You're like, yeah, And then Christ is like, all right, we'll see how your faith is. Let's put you in trial. Why don't you guys get on the boat, go across the sea. I'll meet you guys over there. Let's see where your faith is. Let's see if you still feel the same way after you saw me making that miracle. Let's see if your faith is the same in the boat being hit by the storm. Amen. How many days have said, oh, I am so in love with Christ. How many days have ever said that? Oh, I love church. I love soul winning. I love reading the Bible. And then God said, well, let's see if it's true. Let's see if trials would burst that little bubble. By the way, real faith requires trials. Trials of life is the schooling of the faith. You don't want to run away from trials because God is purifying your faith. God's plans through what happened to us is to help us grow in our faith in God. What we are as Christians, when everything is fine, when there's food, work, money, health, and all the comforts, it's not what makes us strong Christians. What really helps us to become strong Christians is when we go through trials and we stay faithful. Someone said, in the storms of life, you know what your faith is made of. Lastly, let's look at the dangers of sinking. I've always said this. I'd rather die fighting than to die as a coward. I've always I've always liked fighting, and I was like war. You know, I always read books about World War II, Vietnam, all those books. I read them all. And I decided if I ever have to fight, I'd rather die fighting than just die as a coward. Yeah. You know, all those disciples, they said, we love Christ. But when the storms came, they were afraid. Now, there's nothing wrong with being afraid. You're a human. But letting that keep you in the boat is the problem. Was Peter afraid? Yes. But his faith, he put his faith in action and got out of the boat. He said, if I'm going to die, if I'm going to, you know, drown, I'm going to do it walking towards him. The other guys were about, oh, we're about to die. The boat is going to sink, collapse, and we're going to die. We're going to sink the storm, the wind. You know, Peter said, hey, if I'm going to sing like those guys, at least I'm going to try to walk towards him. If you sink, you know, if you sink, there's danger if you sink. There's a great danger in running away spiritually from trials. If you sink, you die. If you sink, you lose. Sinking is very easy. You just have to let yourself go. There are two kinds of Christian in this room tonight, this morning. Those that are going to die because they're simply going to decide not to fight when they're facing storms of trials. And those that are going to not sink nor die because they will take advantage of the opportunity that God has provided for them. You know, Peter taught me a lesson. If I'm going to die, I better fight till I see God do something or die trying. Let me ask you, are you facing trials in your life this morning? Are you going through trials? Someone said you're either starting a trial or in the midst or coming out or just resting. Because you will rest. You will rest before you go back again. And by the way, Christian life, you know, there's this false Christianity out there. Come to Christ, you're never going to suffer. Tell you what, the only thing I know is that I'm going to heaven. That's the only suffering that I know is not happening. But while I'm earth, I'm going to suffer. I'm going to go through trials. Wherever you find yourself this morning, don't run. But decide to stay faithful. For faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. You know, the next time, you know, you want to be faithful to God, and you want to, you know, God will trial. He's going to try you. But that's not the big problem you and I face. The big problem is not the trials or the storms. The big problem is running away. Is running away. You want to see God? I guess I'm thinking that we came to church because we want God in our life. Well, sometimes the way he's going to come is through trials. And it's fine. Like I said, it's fine. If I want him, I don't mind the way, you know, what he's going to send me. My focus is to be with him. You know, in life, we're going to go through trials. Amen. You know, a couple of years ago, two years, I lost my dad. COVID. You know, pastor in Houston, Texas for 25 years. You know, great man. My kids used to call him Silly Grandpa because my dad always made, you know, he always made him laugh. He always made him. And, you know, our family went through a trial. But, you know, we're not okay because we're strong. We're okay because we decided to come more closer to Christ. Amen. My brother took over the church. You know, my dad did a good job raising all of us. You know, he's not a perfect man, but we learned one thing, you know. Trials are not there to make us run away from God. Trials are just opportunities to make us grow in our Christian life. So the next time you go through trials, don't do like the ostrich. Put your head on the ground. Don't run away. I'll see you in 2 years. No, let's be more faithful to God. Let's read more our Bibles. Let's pray more. You know, let's be faithful. Let God do what He has determined to do in our trials, in our lives. Amen. Father, we thank You for this morning. We thank You, Lord, for Your blessing. You know, let me ask you, I don't know where you are right now, but I'm going to have Brother Ross come and take over the invitation.